The propaganda vehicle of Star Wars is intended to be an entertaining mode of transmission of Magian morality into the consciousness of the broad masses or Goyim, to transmute their relatively healthy mind into a mind of corruption and on that basis to destabilize the Aryan society. The two sides or factions portrayed as pitted against one another in the franchise are the Empire and the Rebels. The Empire, one might conjecture, is a caricature of the Catholic Church, National Socialism and Ancient Rome synthesized together into an archetype of Aryan mankind. All of the actors who played the Empire were white, particularly of the ancestry of the nations Jewry stigmatizes continually in their media, English, German, Italian and Austrian, the representatives of the British Empire, the Catholic Church, the Austro-Hungarian and Holy Roman Empires and National Socialism, as well as the Italians of Rome in both its pre-Christian and Catholic form. The archetype of the stereotypical evil Aryan stands forth clearly in the Empire. Its ethics are portrayed through the lens of the Jew Lucas as that of the violent, ignorant, exploitative, usurious and totalitarian personality type, as Hannah Arendt in her book of the same name called. The stigma thus is established from the beginning scene of the trilogy of the aggressive and violent Aryan Empire, spoken of in the trilogy simply as the Empire, and sets its precedent for the remainder of the trilogy as the dark specter of evil pursuing and hunting the innocent rebels who, in the words of the Jewish princess Leia, just want peace, echoing the refrain of the Jewish pathos of today's world. This stereotypical depiction of the Empire imposing its totalitarian universalism upon all is a direct attack against the Catholic Church and all related putatively Aryan groups and movements who Jewry has historically viewed as an opponent to their self-serving belief in their entitlement to rule the world. The rebels, by contrast, are presented as humble victims and freedom fighters, embodying the archetype of Magian morality as Spengler characterized it, that of the Middle Easterner with his lunar mutability and his telluric orientation toward the emotional level of consciousness. These are depicted as typically Jewish and inclusive of the mixed multitude of humanity, as well as the earthly humanoids Jewry exalts in their media as anti-heroic heroes of the underprivileged. Their ethics are that of the persecuted victim, the chandal morality spoken of by Nietzsche in Beyond Good and Evil, and the genealogy of morals. All they want is peace and to be left alone to live in their limited state of what they call harmony or a static inertia within the Force. The hypocrisy of such a portrayal of the two factions is easily borne out by the actual history of the cosmic war and of this world. The cosmic war is accessible only to they who can read via the Akashic records and above, and who are spiritually connected with the Divyas, the ancestors of the Aryan race and from whom the latter derive. For the mundane, the remnants of history can be viewed in the materials preserved throughout the world in the ancient sacred texts, of the bas-reliefs, temples and statues. Texts such as the O Erelinda Bok, the Popol Vuh, the Vedas, the Edda, ancient Sumerian clay tablets, ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics and other sources reveal that the history of this world did not confine itself to the present few thousand years, but reached back hundreds of millennia to off-planet origins, and indeed even within the recent 6,000 years the world has been the battleground of cosmic war. Much falsification and distortion on the part of the Cabal has been put forth to hoodwink the Goyim and keep their minds enslaved within the exotericism of religion, profane philosophy and scientism, confining their consciousness to the phenomenal world of the Demiurge or serving the Demiurge in their churches as an alternative. Books such as the Bible and the Book of Enoch, amongst other Near Eastern contrivances, have played this part of generating a dark age of ignorance. Prior to this and up to the present day, all religious formations have facilitated this purpose: Zoroastrianism in ancient Aryan Persia, Vaishnavism and then Buddhism in ancient India, all designed as exoteric and rationalist instruments of shrouding the masses, and ignorance which exerted its influence on the upper caste also as a backwash of pseudo-spiritual sludge of purely humanal to human invention. This is discussed in the section of René Guénon's The Crisis of the Modern World entitled The Dark Age. Thus the history of the world has been deliberately shrouded in darkness under the mantle of piety and holiness. The light of truth has been concealed by they who have vested interests in monopolizing knowledge and information, and thereby keeping the dumbed-down masses on a leash of Saturnian lead. These black magicians are the true empire, which is the inverse of George Lucas's portrayal in his trilogy. The rebels who are immediatized simulacrum of the Gnostics are the true evil empire in the sense of a violent, aggressive slaver of all and sundry for the profit of themselves and themselves alone. The real history of the cosmic war the writer has attempted to piece together from his own investigations and his conclusions are by no means adequate or entirely correct. The galaxy far, far away spoken of in the original trilogy's movie episode For a New Hope may very well have been Orion, the constellation which is revealed in simple and direct reference and historical artifacts of the Earth. The Giza Pyramid's King's Chamber is directed towards Sirius B, the most significant star in the Orion constellation. Within the Vedas, Orion is referenced and the Pleiades or Seven Sisters are referenced throughout the symbolism and iconography of this world and its history. It might also have been the constellation of Taurus and the star Aldebaran, which some have contended is the home of the Aryan race. Whether in one galaxy or the other and whatever specific constellation a cosmic war occurred in, this war entailed the ancestors of the Aryans who have been spoken of as the Vanir in the Edda of the Devas or Divyas in the Vedic tradition. Both traditions can be directly traced to the current Aryan race and particular groups thereof existent at that time in the north and in the Indian subcontinent. The Vanir were pitted against the entities who were the creators of what have come to be called Jews, the reptilian transdimensionals who presumably derived from Alpha Draconis in the Orion constellation and or in the constellation of Lyra. Such falsifiers of the actual cosmic war such as Joseph Farrell and Stuart Sverdlow Sverdlov have been introduced into the truth movement to muddy the waters of the cosmic origins of the Aryan race and to depict the cosmic war in stereotypically Magian Judaic terms, inverting the morality of the Aryans and depicting the weak and pacifistic as God and the strong and powerful as evil, contrary to the Aryan values of associating the good with the strong and healthy, thus overlaying their lies upon the truth as an attempt to conceal truth in affirming their mendacity and hypocrisy. The Cosmic War was and is a reality, and the Star Wars franchise is its inversion. Star Wars itself is a depiction not of a war of rebels against an evil empire, which is simply the external facade behind which Jewry conceals its race war, but of a war of Jewish aggression and despotism, the empire connoting in not so subtle form the white race, and the rebels connoting the non-whites specifically and especially Jewry as its vanguard or leadership are posited over and against the empire as freedom posited over and against totalitarianism, i.e. the hegemony of the white race over others being subjugated by the good hegemony of humanity. Hence the proper name of this cosmic war is in reality a race war of cosmic proportions and indeed beyond this a species war as depicted in Star Wars, with certain species aligned with one another against others. Within the context of the trilogy, certain species can be discerned under the costume of aliens. Perhaps there is actual validity to this portrayal, and the current humanity derives from multiple origins of separate extraterrestrial species. The racial cast of characters depicted in Star Wars based upon name, function, affiliation and behavior enables one to conclude what the Jewish creator George Lucas, and this as a representative of his tribe, perceives the other as. The racial cast of caricatures presented in the trilogy of Lucas enables the more astute viewer, he who is more astute than the average imbecile theatergoer, to understand the Jewish perspective, one of vainglory and contemptuous disdain for the other. The figure of Guido in the first movie is that of a bounty hunter who travels the galaxy killing for money, specifically hunting the so-called innocent Jew as represented by Han Solo. Guido may have been a stigmatization of Otto Skorzeny, the SS commando who operated in a Solo fashion and has a name with similar sound. Guido might be an aspersion of the Italian fascists in this context, with Mussolini having been rescued by Skorzeny, who pulled off a daring maneuver to accomplish this feat. Guido is easily dispatched by Solo, who is portrayed as the typical Jew, a slick and cunning pragmatist who is shown to be a smuggler in the movie and an opponent of the Empire, though not entirely having sided with the rebellion, i.e. with the more Gnostically oriented Jews, being a Jew who is of a more worldly variety. The reality of the SS commandos, of course, was otherwise, with Jewry having to employ all of their Shabosko-allied powers on their side in order to deploy the weight of numbers to physically take down the National Socialist Axis powers of the Empire, losing in the spiritual planes even as they win an apparent victory in the physical. Boba Fett is yet another representative of the Jews' enemy bounty hunter, a figure of undisclosed species origin owing to his robotic suit of armor which conceals his form. What can be gleaned is that his helmet is shaped in a phallic style somewhat reminiscent of that of the Italian fascists or perhaps another affiliate of the Axis powers who were only affiliated in a fallible way such as Spain or one of the South American countries. He is portrayed as a tech-savvy figure connoting the technical skill of the Empire of the Aryan and employing his technology as his main means of achieving his capture of those he has been contracted to round up. The schismatic nature of the relations between the Third Reich and its allies is seen in the relations between the bounty hunters employed by the Empire and the Empire itself with the comment of one of the Empire's officers, "We don't need their kind," underscoring the inferiority of the bounty hunter type in relation to the doctrinal purity of the Empire and attempting to imply the hypocrisy of the Empire. The racial purity of the officer caste with their black uniforms connoted the SS and its rigorous standards. One of the bounty hunters is shown to have a scarred face, further suggesting Otto Skorzeny in a way which defiles his character, an aspersion of the commandos of the SS and their affiliates. This implied slander on the part of jury reveals their fear of the legitimate threat to their despotism posed by the Third Reich and on a larger scale Aryan power under whatever formation. Perhaps another inversion can be observed in the presence of the reptilian bounty hunter. Given that jury are almost certainly a reptilian hybrid, the association of the reptilian with the Empire suggests this traitorous nature. The reptilians, being jury's creators, are portrayed by such as David Icke, Stuart Swerdlow and other disinfo agents as the creators of the black nobility, which is a factual inversion, and thus to extend this false association between the reptilians and the Empire seems the presentation of a consistent SOP on the part of jury. Lucas may have been simultaneously revealing and concealing the truth within the context of the movie, mocking the Goy in his presentation of that figure, portraying the reptilian is affiliated with Aryans and a mercenary when the reptilians are the coterie of a hive mind entity which Miguel Serrano called the Prince of Darkness and which is the Jews' god Yahweh Jehovah. However, perhaps some reptilians, like some Jews, had decided to side with good rather than their kind and betray their kind siding with Aryans. Lucas could have been depicting the treason of his kind in this scene as well, stigmatizing the Din Rodaf as a mercenary in a pejorative sense. In the Star Wars video game for the Nintendo 64 console released in 1996, the character of IG-88 is depicted, a robot mercenary. 88 connotes the number of Christ, the eight-pointed star of Venus and I. G may connote the IG Farben Company of the Third Reich, another implied aspersion on the part of Lucas against the mercenary nature of the Aryan race. The true causes of any racial treason on the part of Aryans are, 1, hyper-individualism and following their true will, and or 2, cowardice, and or 3, following a path of corruption. Chewbacca, the sidekick of Han Solo, represents the archetype of the Negro, the darker variety of non-white, and the archetype moreover of the secret relationship between blacks and Jews as the Nation of Islam wrote of in their series of books by the same title. The relationship in the movie between Solo and Chewbacca reveals the mentality of jury as regards Negroes, that being of one of subjugation or Jewish overlordship and Negro subordination, which history has borne out in the slave plantations throughout history, with jury being the beneficiary of the usufruct of Negro slave labor. This relationship, for lack of a better term, can be seen today as reflected in Jewish-owned factories and their own personal domiciles, with Negro and darker non-white servants serving them for minimal to no wages. This is not to say that whites, especially women, have not been employed as slave labor by jury throughout history. The cases of Leo Frank, the State of Israel and other sex slavers, as well as the child labor in Jewish-controlled factories in England, are also telling of the Judaic perspective of the other, so eloquently depicted in Dickens' novels. Nonetheless, the inarticulate gruntings of Chewbacca resonated with Han Solo and they formed a secret relationship that provided comic relief to Lucas's trilogy and more candy coating for the poisoned apple of this piece of Jewish propaganda. Chewbacca is portrayed as a relatively unintelligent creature whose species is other to Solo's and whose understanding of reality pales in comparison to the Jewish Han Solo, one of the chosen ones with his godlike mind directed in the earlier phases of the trilogy toward worldly concerns and later toward the noble purpose of his dominion mandate. The Jewish supremacist concept of chosenness contrasts with the divine right of kings and the figure of Emperor Palatine, who represents the Fura Princip, the leadership principle of the initiatic priest king of Atlantean origin, the hierarchical structure of each faction reflecting its consciousness, in the former case an oligarchy of devious and cunning priests ruling on the basis of what might be called the lunar principle, and in the case of the latter the solar phallic principle of the masculine consciousness with absolute responsibility vested in the leader. The Jewish leadership is portrayed in the most idyllic as paragons of virtue and persecuted victimhood, of a comparatively powerless group whose power source derives from the Force's Jedi. The rebel elites are dressed in white as in the case of the concluding scene of Coronation, wherein the heroic rebels are given medals celebratory of their victory over the Empire. The Empire and its legions are presented as of predominantly black costume, connoting the stereotypical evil aspect of the good versus evil Magian morality. The Magian morality of good versus evil can be observed in the simplistic black and white contrast between those purely good and those purely evil, with the classical ethics of the Aryan being transposed into the ethics of Judeo-Christian, weakness being equated with virtue. The hypocrisy of this contrast lies in the actual history of Jewry and their reptilian creators, not only within this world but within the larger context of the cosmic war of the forces of light against the forces of darkness, the Divis and the legions of the Prince of Darkness and their antipodal earthly representatives, the Aryans and Jewry. The inversion of values can be seen in the Star Wars franchise, with those portrayed as absolutely evil being the Empire and those absolutely good being the rebellion against the Empire. The hypocrisy and passive-aggressive female violence of the rebels embodied in its Jewish leadership. Yet other races are depicted in the film, especially in the third film released. The planet of Endor is presented as, for some reason, a significant location of the Empire for its construction of the Death Star. It resembles Earth, and the moon of our Earth perhaps is connoted by the Death Star. David Icke's The Moon Saturn Matrix has depicted the moon as an artificial object placed in the Earth's gravitational field, used as a relay station for transmissions of gravitational and/or radio waves broadcast from Saturn via its ice rings. The inversion here lies in the fact of the Matrix being a reptilian construct and Jewry being reptilian hybrids, and hence the Death Star being possibly theirs, not the Aryans. On Endor, creatures reminiscent of the brown barbalutes from Dr. Seuss's book The Lorax are presented, both revealing the Jewish exploitation and incitement of the non-whites against whites. These creatures represent the indigenous peoples who Jewry purports to liberate from the Empire via communist revolution and agitation. The reality, of course, is otherwise. The liberation of the non-whites from the influence of Aryans typically was undergone for the surreptitious purpose of effacing the cultural contribution of the Aryans' culture from the memory of the indigenous peoples, and their supplantation as a leadership with that of the exploitative Jew and their Christian slave golem, who carry out their master's orders in the manner of a zombified robot. The Ewoks are the victims of the evil Empire, who has installed its violent technology upon the Earth. This is an inversion, of course, as the whites had created harmonious technology based upon implosive power, that of the Mother Goddess, not the explosively generated power systems of the Demiurge running on electricity, a disturbance of the force and the harmony of existence. The ancient Aryans, as discussed in copious detail in Miguel Serrano's Adolf Hitler, The Last Avatar, were the true liberators of the anthropoids of Gaia, and gifted their higher knowledge to the non-whites with whom they had interbred as means of liberating their souls from the prison matrix of the Demiurge and his slaves, Jewry, and later the Judeo-Christians, who are the true exploiters and enslavers of the Earth. The Lemurian beastmen anthropoids are depicted in the form of the Ewoks, and the original inhabitants of Gaia, perhaps created by the Demiurge himself, had ceased to exist with the sinking of Lemuria through the cataclysm of the moon being placed in the Earth's atmosphere. Another race depicted is that of Yoda, who is presented as a superlatively developed adept who is bound up with Obi-Wan Kenobi. Yoda appears to be some sort of reptilian creature whose alleged power is of a characteristically Magian type, that of a passive-aggressive and reactive sort, purely defensive and maintaining the harmony of the spheres, resonating with the force of the Mother Goddess. Of course, in reality, the black magic of Jewry easily belies this claim to simply wanting peace, as Princess Leia had contended protesting the Grand Moff Wilhuff Tarkin's threat to destroy Alderaan. The passive-aggressive nature of Jewry and by extension their reptilian masters is the real face of the dark forces behind the mask of universal love behind which they conceal themselves. Yoda is the guru of Luke Skywalker. Skywalker is the messianic figure of Jewry, the king of the Jews, a shepherd king of the order of Melchizedek. He receives training to become who he is, a Jedi Knight, from the reptilian guru Yoda on a planet whose atmosphere resembles that of the planet Venus. According to Robert E. Dickhoff in his book Agatha, Venus was occupied by reptilians. Additionally, the name Yoda connotes the Hebrew letter Yod, which, being the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet, represents the spiritual. Also being the 10th letter, it represents the demiurge, whose number is 1 numerologically. The reptilian connection with Jewry is thereby illustrated in the Lucas's movie, revealing in a covert manner characteristic of Jewry in their mediatized revelations of the method, who they are and what their agenda is, at least from their self-serving and schizophrenic perspective, wherein everything they do is above criticism and everything everyone else does is beneath their contempt. By revealing in coded and fictional form their self-understanding and intentions while simultaneously concealing it from the masses, hoodwinking them and hiding in plain sight, they place their captive audience in a double bind of black magic witchcraft, serving up what appears to be mere entertainment for fun and profit while simultaneously cursing the Gentiles, letting them know what they are doing and attempting to shift their karmic burden onto their hapless dupes through giving them a choice, to either accept their actions by partaking of their entertainment or rejecting it, the poisoned candy apple the Wicked Witch of the West uses to poison Snow White. Various other races are depicted in the movies who are affiliated with Jewry to varying degrees on the Earth, especially in The Return of the Jedi, the last of the films in the original trilogy. In the Rebel spaceships, the captains are all non-white or Rebel leaders, and the Negro Lando Calrissian, who participates in characteristically flashy if belated fashion, demonstrates the Jew's perspective of Negro behavior, that of a self-serving showboater and untrustworthy ally, though loyal in the end, at least as depicted in the movie, the purpose of which was to put the Negro on a pedestal according to the racial program of the 20th century of Israel Cohen of 1912. We will aid the Negroes to rise in prominence in every walk of life, in the professions, and in the world of sports and entertainment. With this prestige, the Negro will be able to intermarry with the whites and begin a process which will deliver America to our cause. Some of the alien species depicted have features distantly reminiscent of races currently existent on this Earth. The captain of one of the ships has features connotative of a Chinese person, another of an East Indian, though both of course are exaggerated and deformed. The Chinese are clearly an ally of Jewry and have been for millennia, as the books The History of the Jews in China by S.M. Perlman and Chinese Communists, Chinese Jews by East Van Baconi reveal. Hence Jewry have been a presence in China for millennia and have gone by the name of Chao Qiuqiu, those who extract the tendon, referring to their black magic practice of human sacrifice. One of the other aliens portrayed is reminiscent of an East Indian, both in skin tone and clothing. The Indians had also been infiltrated by Jewry as the fifth caste of India, the Bene Israel, who dwelt apart and who fought amongst themselves, being bifurcated into black and white racial castes. Lucas' portrayal of this alien suggests an affiliation between such beings, their descendants, and the rebel faction of the Cosmic War. Though this would exclude the Brahmin caste, who, being predominantly white and only partially mixed with Lemurian beastmen and whatever species they derived from, are Aryan in the conception of such as H. P. Blavatsky and Savitri Devi, Hitler's priestess, in the words of a liberal pseudo-scholar, a revealer of the doctrine of Vedism as presented in its devolved form of the Kali Yuga. Bal Gangadhar Tikak in his work The Arctic Home of the Vedas argues for a polar origin of the Vedic, which can be easily seen in the parallels of both language, the runes, Old Norse, Germanic and Sanskrit, and symbolism. Within the fictional trilogy of its Jewish creator George Lucas, one can perceive the reality of the cosmic war which has played itself out without interruption, leading to our present crisis, the end times of the Kali Yuga and its terminal madness. To understand the fantasy of the Jew, his obsession with global dominion and his violent hatred of the Aryan race, one need only observe the portrayal of the two factions of the cosmic Star Wars and how they relate to the current factions on the Earth, the movie serving as not only a microcosmic portrayal of an intergalactic contest for supremacy but predictive programming to vilify, slander and defame the white race and to exalt and hold up as venerable heroes that of the Jew. Though presented as a mere fictional amusement, the aliens depicted within the context of the movie may very well have a relationship to the bipedal anthropoids on the Earth. In the movie and on the Earth, only the white race have no non-humanoid counterpart, with all non-whites having a different form within this setting of the trilogy a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Though the Aryans in the film are vilified as the evil empire, they are nonetheless depicted in their purity, in the purity of the blood of the Daivayas. The Sanskrit word pure is translatable into the English word fire, connoting the divine electron or holy grail of the Aryan race, the fire in the blood of the Aryans and their ancestors the gods. At least the Jew George Lucas got something right, revealing more than he intended in his revelation of the method, revealing the true race of the gods and rekindling the memory of the blood in those able to perceive themselves as reflected in the empire, albeit in an opaque pool of the sewage of the cloaca gentium of modernity. Race Wars Part 2, Archetypal Inversion. Within the quasi-fictional scenario of George Lucas' Star Wars, the perspective of the Jewish cabal is presented through their representative. His earlier work THX 1138 was of a similar variety of Jewish Gnosticism, portraying a dystopian world of totalitarian rule wherein a white contingent of slavers and exploiters employed technocratic modes of power to curtail the rights of man and reinforce their monopoly on power. This is the Jewish perspective of the historical white power structures which have constituted the higher cultures and civilizations on our planet and beyond. Though his earlier work was more explicitly anti-Catholic in connotation, with aesthetics of Christ-like idols and robed priests, his later work Star Wars more discreetly veils his biases, but only to a degree, reflecting the anti-white perspective of the Jewish rebels against God. Paradoxical as it may be, the rebellious nature of the Gnostic Jew is a rebellion against his own deity Jehovah Yahweh, the Demiurge, and thus in no way portrays history as it actually occurred in its proper light. Rather, it is a deliberate inversion of reality, stigmatizing the Demiurge and affiliating the Demiurge with the Aryan race while expropriating from the latter their deity Lucifer, who the Jew George Lucas portrays as a messianic figure Luke Skywalker, played by the crypto-Jew Mark Hamill, who leads the rebel faction against the Empire, the latter being an all-white faction representative of Aryan Imperium and which Lucas portrays in a characteristically slanderous way, usurious, intolerant, violators of otherness, etc., again the inverse of their own behavior. Thus the tables are turned in the franchise Star Wars, which inverts the cosmic reality of the polarities of the Force, portraying the harmonious, powerful and creative forces of the Aryan race and their Divyu ancestors and their antipode, the forces of chaos, servants of the One, the Demiurge, the reptilian transdimensionals and their earthly creation Jewry, who embody the forces of chaos within themselves. Again, this is a Jewish perspective propounded in the original trilogy Star Wars and inverts the reality, portraying things from their perspective of self-serving bias and Magian morality of good versus evil instead of the Aryan morality of good versus bad, the morality which affirms life not only in this world but in the realms above this world and higher dimensions of frequency, rather than the morality which affirms stagnation, entropy and death in the name of peace. Given that whites have been subjected to the trauma-based mind control of Christianism throughout the entire Piscean Age, they have become conditioned like Pavlov's dog to operate on the basis of Magian morality, believing in their mental stupor that if Jewry and their affiliates subscribe to a Gnostic worldview and magical practice through which Jewry empower themselves, then whites should simply cling to the dogma of the pacifistic, contemplative Christian value system as some form of opposition to those who wish to destroy them. The reality is that forces exist and one will utilize them to empower himself and his kind, or he will fail to do so and insofar will disempower himself and his kind and thereby empower his enemy, will then harm him and his kind. Clinging to Christ is like clinging to a life preserver full of holes and filled with lead, an absurd and cowardly, effeminate escapism that is serviceable to one's enemies and not to oneself or one's kind. Christianity was formulated as a slave religion to weaken and disempower the enemies of Jewry and to serve their dominionist expansion of power, as the entire history of the Piscean Age has revealed. Thus the perspectives of Lucas presented in the franchise Star Wars are that of the Magian morality of Jewry, wholly foreign to the Aryan, and one must not make the mistake, as is undoubtedly the intention of Jewry, of endowing either the good rebels with any such quality or the evil Empire, or to affirm that the rebels are the truly evil or the Empire the truly good. In the sense of Magian morality, as both perspectives are simply a function of the Jewish perspective of moralizing. Since the Jews were largely incapable of overcoming the good versus evil moralism and thus either pursued the Gnostic path of a variant of Judaic moralism or clung to their Jewish tradition, it would be folly for the white race to follow the same path of error and cling to the pseudo-tradition of Christianity or its secular or New Age variants, all of which perpetuate the Magian morality. Ultimately, whether one is Jewish or Gentile, the Magian morality of the Piscean Age must come to an end with his moralizing and emotional pathos, the modalities of consciousness that are a function of the hive mind of the Near Easterner, with his lunar Dionysian consciousness, his plaintive supplication before the One. Though George Lucas took a step away from the demiurge worship of his orthodox forebears toward the Luciferian light, he nonetheless remains trapped within the matrix of Jehovah. The force Lucas depicts in Star Wars is the Ein Sof hour of the Kabbalah of Isaac Deloria, the boundless light of nothingness. This might be associated with the mother goddess Mary Magdalene or even Allah, according to René Guénon, the latter being both being and non-being, the manifest and non-manifest, contrary to the manifestation of the Big Bang of the Dark Lord, the Judeo-Christian God. The force thus is simply the astral light, as Eliphaz Levi has spoken of in his The History of High Magic. Luke Skywalker's name connotes Lucifer, the light-bearer, who dwells in higher planes of existence, walking on the clouds, bigger than Jesus, who walked on the water. Hence can be seen the Jewish contempt for the figure of Jesus, who is subtly mocked by Lucas in presenting the messianic figure of Luke, the Messiah of the Jews, in A New Hope. Luke works with the Force to empower himself and become a Jedi, an Illuminatus, employing the weapon of the Jedi Knight, the lightsaber, against the dark side of the forces embodied in the Empire. The lightsaber is a Kundalini Shaktipat, or force which dwells at the bottom of the spinal column and which ascends the Shashamna, developing a higher consciousness leading to illumination. According to Miguel Serrano in his magnum opus Adolf Hitler, The Last Avatar, the Aryan Kabbalah worked in the opposite direction, activating the higher chakras first and working the energies down toward the feet. In this instance can be seen the inversion of the counter-initiation of Jewish Kabbalah, working backwards, perhaps in time and in accordance with the cycles of time of the demiurge, directing energy toward the One instead of bringing down energy into the corporeal form for integration in the formation of the diamond body of esoteric Hitlerism. Obi-Wan Kenobi is the mentor of Skywalker, and adept who connotes the Egyptian or Phoenician adept, as does the rocky cave in which he dwells, connotative of the Near East or around Alexandria, Egypt, possibly the Dead Sea, wherein the Essenes had their cult of Magian Gnosticism, following the path of the Dark Lord toward contemplation and inevitable extinction, to be devoured by the One, dissipating the elements of one's being into the maw of Jehovah. Princess Leia, the sister of Skywalker, revealed as such in the final movie of the trilogy, is the de facto matriarchal ruler of the rebels. She is clearly a biblical figure and, according to the Jewish scriptural perspective represented by Lucas in his films, was associated with a fruitful marriage and the building up the tribes of Israel, as well as being associated with humility and modesty. That she is placed in a position of authority over the rebels connotes the matriarchal structure of Jewish society and the empowerment of Jewry through matriarchy, through the transmission of the ideoplasmation of the demiurge by the matrilineal line in accordance with halachic law. By contrast, the Empire is patriarchal and abides by the Fura Princip, the Emperor Palpatine being the absolute supreme leader embodying the patriarchal capacity of the Vicarius Filii Dei, the mediator of the Father God. Though inverted in Catholicism owing to the lunar-Semitic elements which converted an Arian morality as embodied in Rome under the kings into a Magian morality of Semitic pathos of an effeminate nature, in spite of this fact the empire is stigmatized by Lucas as the upholder of the will of the violent Father God of their own lineage, the Demiurge. Thus can be seen the inversion or rather distortion, neither one nor the other, of the actual historical reality of the Arian race and its historical system of governance, which was always structured in a patriarchal manner with paternal leadership and a caste of priestesses who perform their function of mediating the divine forces, establishing a balance of the energies, a harmonious arrangement of the masculine and feminine principles. Jewry, by contrast, at least within its syncretic counter-tradition of Orthodox Judaism, was reflective of an imbalance of the energies, with an oligarchical rabbinate governing despotically over their tribe and crushing women into the position of a to all appearances powerless subordinate. However, matriarchy nonetheless ruled in the home in a sub-rosa and characteristically subterranean fashion. Hans Solo, another of the stars of the show, is a representation of what could be called the Wandering Jew, wandering around the galaxy in his ship the Millennium Falcon and smuggling cargo contrary to the regulations of the Empire. The figure is reminiscent of that of the Jew's self-understanding as an outcast who, after the destruction of Jerusalem, had no choice but to wander the earth as vagabonds and wanderers, having become separated from their God through the malevolent influence of the Empire. The case of Titus, emperor of the Roman Empire, destroying Jerusalem, which operated as a central banking hub of usury in the ancient world, is one which, for the Jew, represents evil, that which threatens their monopoly of God incorporated, and for the healthy-minded Arians it represents good in the sense of eliminating to a large extent the problem of Jewish usury. However, such figures as Hans Solo were left to wander out of the pagan live-and-let-live philosophy, and their wanderings lead to many eruptions of rebellion throughout history, and these eruptions were orchestrated by such figures as Hans Solo, the clever and devious smugglers whose legerdemain, always operating on a subterranean basis, managed to elude the panoptic vision of the Empire and its endless agents. Hans Solo thus represents the Jewish vagabond who nonetheless successfully bucks the system of the Arian Empire and assists in bringing about its destruction through his guileful cunning. He represents a Jewish perspective of the Jew as criminal. Hans Solo is solo, alone, lost to his God Yahweh Jehovah, but eventually through much pathos and melodrama returned to God through affiliating himself with the Rebel Alliance, the spiritually superior Jewish faction, to harmonize with the force. The Empire is depicted as wholly evil and without redemption, being of a purely negative quality in the sense of the dark side of force, the usage of the force for self-serving and inharmonious purposes, a disturbance of the force. The Empire, as aforesaid, represents the sum of all formations of Arian power structures throughout history on this earth, and entails connotations of that which is beyond this earth in the Star Wars between the rebels of the Jewish and alien opposition to the Arian Empire of Nordico-Germanic stock and its presumed Devic origins. The Emperor, by virtue of his name alone, connotes the empires of Rome and also of Carthage under Alexander the Great, as well as the Holy Roman Empire. His monk-like cowl further evokes the presence of the Catholic Church. In all cases there was a presence of the Jew who constituted the true disturbance of the force within the empire, creating rebellions and seeking the sabotage of empire. Through inciting the slave caste to revolt or bringing in foreign mercenaries to oppose the regime through terroristic insurgency, if not outright war. Emperor Palpatine, the name of the emperor within the setting of a trilogy, is portrayed as an arch-black magician, a malevolent and hostile figure who has no compassion or sympathy for the other but concerns himself exclusively with raw power and its exercise. The Arian nature is one of the transcendent, the solar Uranian spirituality, and is above the emotional plane of consciousness of the human, all too human, is unaffected by the pathos and irrationalism of the intermention. Insofar they appear cold and aloof, and indeed they are aloof, but they are neither hot nor cold, but rather a being who embodies the burning cold of the black sun within themselves, who generates through themselves a higher force and who utilizes the force to empower themselves and their own kind and to achieve immortality through transmuting themselves into a vortex of forces which pull in energy rather than a being who gives off energy. The Jews of course know the validity of this but portray themselves as bestowers of God's will and not the black magicians they are, creating a simulacrum of their being and deceiving people into thinking their representation of themselves is the reality rather than a false appearance. Palpatine utilizes the force to empower himself and his empire of which he is the leader. He has no qualms about destroying entire planets with his Death Star mobile planetary weapon and his legions of technologized stormtroopers with their advanced weaponry. The advanced weaponry of the Third Reich may be implicitly alluded to here, which weaponry was apparently derived from Alderaan, the plans for which were transmitted to Earth via the Thule Gesellschaft through black holes. The book by the 55 Club The Final Battalion discusses the technology in detail and one of its main earthly engineers, Victor Schauberger. The Hornbau and Die Glock, the bell, as well as other unknown technology is also discussed in the book of Ernst Zundel, Nazi UFOs and Miguel Serrano's Hitler's Flying Saucers Against the NWO. The Empire thus, though painted with a black brush, almost certainly is a reality. It almost certainly has advanced technology and will almost certainly intervene on behalf of the beleaguered Aryans and will assist in manifesting the new eon of Aquarius and the higher man, the Superman or Luciferian adept, not be pusillanimous figure of Luke Skywalker with his Magian morality, but the Aryan Superman more along the lines of spiritually advanced creator, a man of race oriented toward the stars. Darth Vader, whose name entails a German connotation as well as a negative and black one, is posited as the sidekick or right-hand man of the Emperor and carries out a supervisory executive function as a Kshatriya warrior nobleman subordinate to the Brahmonical priest, suggesting the caste system of the Aryan Vedic culture. Darth Vader is paradoxically presented as the father of Luke. Though Luke has clearly discernibly Jewish features, Vader does not and is revealed without helmet at the end of the trilogy as of German or relatively pure English stock. The connotation here may very well be Luke's implied aspersion of the Aryan that the latter are incapable of true spirituality and only when hybridized with Jews can the Aryan have any redeemable characteristics. This alludes to the Jews' hatred of the Germanic stock and their secret relationship with the Judaized Anglo-Saxon British, who have served the former as the Jews' puppets throughout the millennia and in the British Empire especially. Though the Anglo-Saxons have played the role of the scapegoat of Jewry throughout the history of the relationship, they are portrayed as the new hope for the rebellion. The Empire's command structure has an aesthetic reminiscent of the Third Reich combined to a degree with the British and Italians. The leadership are either Germanic, British, Italian or Irish. Only the officers are portrayed as having a face, i.e. having any idiosyncratic properties, a distinct soul, while their rank and file are depicted as faceless automata, stormtroopers whose uniformity suggests a roboticized, depersonalized essence. The inversion here lies in that Jewry constitutes a hive mind and that whites and Aryans especially are a differentiated collective, united and separated forever across all planes of being. The putative diversity of the Rebel Alliance collapses in a heap of undifferentiated chaos in reality, though in Jewish Hollywood it welds itself together in spirit and in truth in either the Catholic uniformity or the Luciferian uniformity of the multi-cult, the undifferentiated chaos of the false universalism reigning over a quantity of lost souls. Only in the Third Reich, reflective of the most recent earthly formation of Aryan identity, did organic difference affirm itself in its true diversity and thereby affirm the true universal of the divine will, of a differentiated order, the very same order Jewry hates and seeks to destroy. The hired mercenaries of the Empire, as aforesaid, detect either a decrepit white brooch or aliens of varied assortment. These all connote the non-white affiliates of the Aryans and portray them as well as other affiliates of the Empire in the worst light, violent psychopaths and abusive sadists or coarse voluptuaries such as Jabba the Hutt and his pig guards. That many of the National Socialists left through the rat line to escape the persecution of the Allied powers after the Second World War to Egypt and in the Middle East amongst other areas of the Earth is suggested by the Empire's affiliation with Jabba on his desert planet. The storyline inverting reality being the strong suit of Jury, George Lucas is no exception, and the storylines of the Star Wars series reflect the 180-degree spin of true history into Jew history, history of the cosmic war simply being carried forward in fictional format under the agency of the plagiarist. The two suns which once constituted those of our solar system, with Saturn being central during the Golden Age, are depicted as being on the horizon of the planet Tatooine, in which the messianic figure of Luke Skywalker is depicted in his humble capacity of a farmer. Here we see an inversion of Cain and Abel, and the Jewish messianic figure playing the role of a hard-working farmer rather than a predatorial hunter and scavenger, inverting the archetypes of the Aryan cultivator of the soil and placing the Jew in his place of Abel. The Wicked One Cain thus is no longer associated with Jewry, but rather with the predatorial Aryan Empire which is hunting for droids on Tatooine. The messianic figure becomes swept up in the dragnet of the Empire, having become early on in the storyline a martyr for the cause. His adopted parents having been burned to death as a sacrifice in a Wicker Man ritual set up by the stormtroopers, and this without any probable cause other than the inherently evil nature of the Empire. Thus the dichotomy of pure good and pure evil is established, and the living martyr Luke physically embodies the purity of goodness in the Magian sense, and the Empire is left with its mass of pottage as Esau, son of Cain the Wicked One, their destiny being extermination, being a shaitan or adversary of the Jewish god Jehovah. In search of the droids, who had delivered the message of Princess Leia to Luke, the Mother Goddess having offered her dispensation of wisdom to her consort the Baal, Luke Skywalker, and thus having initiated his transmutation into a Lucifer, Skywalker becomes tangled up with Sand People, an aggressive group of nomads. He is saved by Obi-Wan Kenobi, the figure of an adept who facilitates Luke's understanding of the message of Princess Leia, playing the role of mediator of the gnosis of Luke's transmutation from his current state of base metal, alchemical lead. Obi-Wan convinces Luke to go to Alderaan on after his family are killed, thus burning his bridge to the purely telluric life of the Abel Agrarian and leading him to pursue his course amongst the stars. The Mos Eisley spaceport, that most wretched hive of scum and villainy, is a representation of the multicultural Cloaca Gentium in its lowest octave, and therein Luke becomes entangled with Han Solo, who facilitates their passage. Solo being our type of the wandering Jewish merchant who has lost his connection to his god, employs his deviousness and trickery to wrangle Luke's passage out of the area of Tatooine and toward their destination. However, Obi-Wan senses with his Jedi sight that there was trouble, and Solo employs his technical know-how, combining spiritual intuition with concrete profane science, to determine that Alderaan has been destroyed. Hence their plans are thwarted thus far in the movie. Through the working out of destiny, the messianic figure of Luke is brought to within range of the Death Star, and they are brought into it via its tractor beam, which overpowers the ship of Han Solo. The cunning of the Jew shows itself in their concealing themselves in the smuggling compartments of the ship, and they employ further cunning in stealing the armor of stormtroopers to infiltrate from within the Death Star, or source of power of the Empire, subtly connoting the infiltration of Jewry into Aryan society as smugglers and merchants of various and sundry type, the director and writer Lucas giving the wink and the gun gesture to his chosen people as of a superlatively clever and superior nature, putting one of over against the Empire of the Aryan. Princess Leia is held prisoner on the Death Star. She is perhaps representative of Lilith, of the separated feminine aspect of the complete soul, the total man, who is in process of reunion with her opposite principle as embodied in Luke, creating through the alchemical drama of combat against the dark side of the Force the Androgyne, a Lucifer of Ella and LOL. Through this process, the droid R2-D2 gathers data from the Death Star, and this is brought back to the Rebel base once the heroes escape to be used against itself. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan has died, having fulfilled his purpose as a transmitter of the gnosis of his Jedi Order, conferred upon Luke, who, though not fully trained, is nonetheless a kosher certified initiate in the mysteries of Hebrew Kabbalah. Luke later employs his wisdom of the second side to destroy the Death Star and to save the rebellion from the Empire's ultimate weapon. His messianic role is thereby underscored, and the journey continues in the new episode The Empire Strikes Back. In the second of the trilogy, the icy planet Hoth is depicted. Its name is Germanic sounding and perhaps connotes Mars, the planet which was, according to sources such as Blavatsky, occupied by Aryans. A nuclear war occurred on this planet with the Aryans being forced to seek escape from their enemy within the planet and a remnant managing to escape coming later to Earth. The inversion depicted here is portraying the good rebels as having sequestered themselves on Hoth to escape the evil empire and its panoptic vision. One can easily infer based upon the behavior of Jury and their witch hunting abuse of the Aryans on this Earth that the persecuted Jews as depicted in Lucas's film is in reality an inverted archetype of the persecuted Aryans and that Hoth simply represents planet Mars. The planet Aryans had occupied as a breakaway civilization prior to its having experienced a nuclear war through the agency of the reptilians and or Jews, the true disturbers of the Force, the dark forces of Jehovah. Lucas receives another dimensional transmission from Obi-Wan to continue his training with Yoda, a reptilian creature on a planet reminiscent of Saturn, which one might infer is the case in watching the Space Patrol episodes The Trees of Saturn and The Rings of Saturn, both of which depict the reptilian occupying planet Saturn and having a positive rapport with the figures who have control of Earth, the Venusian Jews and a hybrid Aryan Jew who is suggestive of the British type, the Anglo-Jew hybrid. Hence Yoda is likely a representation of the archetype of the black magician reptilian who is a probable creator of Jury, the reptilian Neanderthal hybrids on the Earth, and which reptilian creatures are spoken of by the latter as Sephardim. The matrix of the Earth plane is probably operated from Saturn by reptilians and the ice rings generated around it have, as Serrano has said in his work Manu, for the man to come made of Saturn a captive Aeon, whereas before he was the main sun of the Golden Age and was of a different color. He serves the role of a vortex of energy derived from Earth. The Emperor is portrayed as having an antagonistic relationship to Luke, stating the son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi as, according to the Magian table turning of Lucas, the good messianic figure is not capable of being turned to evil and this owing to his fate according to the plan of the Jewish God perhaps. On Dagobah, the planet upon which Yoda dwells, Luke undergoes a crisis of faith, a characteristically Jewish episode of melodrama in which his loss of faith results in a diminution of his spiritual power. He comes understand his friends are threatened by the Empire owing to his receptivity to the Force and he decides to follow the moral path of salvationism, putting aside his training in order to save them on a mundane level. Here can be observed the Jewish fatal flaw, or rather the Aryan, having sympathy and regard for others which causes temporary harm and setback but eventually, through karmic processes, results in a greater good through self-sacrifice, through giving without expectation of reward. Of course the Jewish inversion of ethics here entails their characteristic behavior of bestowing false gifts upon others even as they harm their enemies. Luke's friends Leia, Han Solo and Chewbacca are captured and set up by a Negro erstwhile friend of Solo's Lando Calrissian who betrays them to the Empire who have coordinated a setup to entrap the messianic figure Luke. Here one can observe the Jewish stigmatization of the Negro as an untrustworthy traitor and self-server siding with anyone for anything his momentary self-interest dictates and being a backslider. The Negro, however, is portrayed as coming around and turning on the Empire out of sympathy for his friends, a recognition after the fact, however dim, of his moral transgression. Luke confronts his father and martyrizes himself, allowing himself to fall in the most literal sense from the heights of temporal power into a higher state of spiritual authority by taking the straight and narrow path, allowing his hands to be cut off by his father, sacrificing himself to himself and thereby demonstrating in that gesture his self-transcendent nature and spiritual authority, the quality the Jew claims for himself as a gesture of his putative supremacy over the worldly empire of the black magicians winning by losing. Of course one need only observe who controls the power systems of this world to understand the inverted nature of this claim which portrays the temporal power of whites as evil and that of Jury, of the MORG as good. The final episode of the trilogy The Return of the Jedi showcases the final confrontation between the Children of Light and the Children of Darkness, again in their inverted portrayal and as an act of black magic on the part of Lucas. One might draw conclusions regarding the scenery and come to an understanding of the cosmic war as it culminates on this earth as of this time, thus taking us up to the present epoch of the Kali Yuga and serving as a revelation of the method of Jury in their intended plans, the ultimate defeat of their enemy, the Empire of the Aryan race, who had found a safe space on Gaia to avoid the pursuit of the real empire of the dark forces, the reptilians and their Jewish underlings. The Death Star is being reconstructed and is nearly fully operational. This may refer to the artificial moon, which constitutes a part of the Moon-Saturn matrix machine, which traps the souls of the dead on Earth and perpetuates the reincarnation trap of the dark forces, again in verdict and portrayed as the sinister plan of the Empire.